Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. What a treat we have today. Rich Dad himself on the line with us, Robert Kiyosaki, well-known author with his breakout book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and following up with many other great books. I own a number of properties across the U.S. because of the influence this man has had on my life decisions. And, you know, he's popularized the words rat race and cash flow, and really instilled entrepreneurship in America. And I am forever grateful to him. I can go on his introduction, but you know, without any further ado, Robert Kiyosaki, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Now, it's nice to talk to young guys like you, you know, because I think you guys, your generation knows you're in trouble, right?
Absolutely, especially after graduating into the 08 financial crisis and dealing with asset prices that are now out of control. How difficult it is to get ahead in life. I mean, it's unprecedented in the statistics we're seeing. So,
Robert, you'd be having no trouble. It's what you have is my generation of baby boomers. Our pensions are shot. That means you're gonna have to be taking. I'll be moving in with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing this with you today. Now, sir, I've read a number of your books, and I consider you one of...
Let me say this, okay? You guys are going to inherit a national debt that will kill you guys. And that's the real problem. I mean, your jobs and wages and all that's, you know, a little chicken. It's not that big a deal. But yeah, what you're about to inherit from the World War II generation and the Vietnam era generation, my generation, is going to crush you guys. So that's one of the reasons I'm happy to talk to young guys like you. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I just want to tell you what I think and that you're taking action and you're not talking about, you're talking about crushing the street rather than investing on the street. That's why I talk to you.
I love it. I love it. And I greatly appreciate that. And I hope there's not 100% casualty in the millennial generation, because that would include me. My goal is to be above that and to get ahead as hard as it might be to do.
Well, that's why I talk to you, because you guys are hoes. You know what I mean? You guys are in serious, serious financial trouble. And, you know, I don't think your generation has any idea of how big that problem coming down. I mean, I think we're in it right now. And that's why I wrote the book 21 years ago, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because I could see this crisis coming. So anyway, I'm happy to talk to you.
Well, I'd like to start off with this question. From the time you wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, has there been any notable evolutions in your investing philosophy that you have today that you didn't have back then?
Not really. The only thing that's changed as I talk to you right now is we're just rebalancing our investment portfolio, but we never would have before. We never sell. I've never sold real estate. I mean, properties. I generally like to keep them at 1031 of them.
Absolutely.
Because I really hate paying taxes. But because of the 2008 crisis and quantitative easing, which is now quantitative tightening, the private equity groups and the home, the hedge funds are just flush with cash. And so they've come to my company and they're offering us 300% increases in what we paid for these properties. Mm-hmm. That's a crash coming. Wow. So being a generous person and somebody's going to give me, you know, let's say I paid $1 million for the thing and they're offering me $3 million for it, I have to give it to them. You know, I say, well, this is a piece of junk I wanted to get rid of anyway, but you can have it now. My concern is I might have to pay taxes because I don't want a 1031, a tax deferred exchange into another property. So for the first time since Rich Dad, Poor Dad was written, you know, 21 years ago, I'm now selling property and I'm not buying property. That's the big difference for me.
Wow.
If you have bad property, I dump it now.
Well, right now, the statistics, and we have already alluded to this with the millennials, are through the roof with millennials living at home in very poor, harsh living conditions, you know, not being able to afford very much, with asset prices at, you know, record levels. So, you know, what do you suggest to young people nowadays to get out of the rat race?
Yeah, you have to listen. You're not hearing a word I'm saying. It's not the asset prices going up, it's the interest rates are going up. And that's what you got to watch out for today. So it's not asset prices, it's your lack of financial education for millennials. You live in la-la land, you know, because what did school teach you about money? What did your parents teach you about money? And you think owning a home is the be-all, end-all. You know, as I said in Rich Dad Poor Dad, a house is a liability. And most millennials with their heads, you know, way up the with their parents' butts or whatever they are. I mean, you are following in your poor parents' footsteps. That's the problem. So if you think buying a house is a good idea, just wait, because you're gonna, you know, in a year to 5 years, you're gonna thank me for saying, you know, Kiyosaki said he was selling. And that's a good sign. Because I think we're going into a depression. And we go into a depression, there's going to be bargains all over the place. So I would be very happy right now that if you haven't bought a home, you're still living with mommy and daddy, you might be in better condition than some poor schmo or your parents were trying to take care of you. You know what I mean? You might be in a great position. There's always the change of cycles and environments. But again, who are you taking financial advice from? Mommy and daddy? I mean, grow up. Your school teachers? Oh, give me a break. Your real estate broker? Your stock broker? I mean, kind of grow up. That's all I'm saying.
Sir, you wrote the book Midas Touch alongside Donald Trump, now the president of the United States. And in your experience with the president, you know, is he the racist, bombastic, uncalculated, clumsy president that the media would make him out to be? And what was your experience working with Donald Trump?
He's a great man. I worked with him for 8 years, one of the best years of my life. And if you believe what the media is saying, then you haven't got the message. You know, the media is predominantly, exactly as it says, fake news. And that includes Fox News and all that. These guys are all, you know, they know what's said. The television stations or news stations, radio, whatever it is, must cater to their advertisers. So if Fox News has a bunch of right-wing capitalists, then they have to support Trump. But CNN is filled with, you know, card-carrying communists and Hollywood liberals, and they have to support plastering Trump. So the thing is, for you millennials, don't pay attention to the news. You know, it's all fake, left and right, up and down. Just remember this, as the election is coming up, it doesn't make any difference who gets elected. Mm. You know, they're trying to tell you, well, the Democrats take the House and this and all this. It doesn't make any difference. Always remember the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. That has been that way since time immemorial. So if you don't have gold, and I do mean gold or silver, then somebody else is going to tell you what to do. So I think the thing you should do is just, you know, I see Trump as an entertainer, unfortunately, a very powerful entertainer. And I like what he's doing. And he's trying to drain the swamp. But the swamp are all those private, you know, the lobbyists and all those guys who are, you know, the NGOs, the military, the teachers unions and all those guys. That's who he's battling. And I'm afraid the swamp is going to win. So, you know, I just wouldn't pay attention to the news or politics. I would just ask one question. How much gold do you have? How much silver do you have? How much paper are you carrying? You know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETF, and savings. I'd be out of them. You know, and your real estate, is it performing real estate or non-performing real estate? And if you're living at home with mommy and daddy, what happens if mommy and daddy get creamed in the next crash? You know, what are you going to be? Homeless with mommy and daddy? You know, those are the questions I think are important for millennials, because you look at homelessness in some of the richest cities in America, like Hawaii leads in homelessness. Why? Price of real estate. You look at Seattle, one of the richest cities in America, homelessness is through the roof. You look at San Francisco, homelessness is through the roof. If I was a millennial, I'd be thinking about that and be happy mommy and dad. Mammy and daddy are putting food on the table and a roof over your head while you can you know, sort out what you were taught in school and by mommy and daddy and politics? That's the questions I say to young people. Now, they don't like it because you guys are the most coddled generation in history. You know, you get, everybody gets trophies, and I can't say triggering events to you guys because I might hurt your feelings. But I think most of you are not that weak. Most of you are very strong. You're wiser than my generation is, and you also know times are different. But you have to rethink what you were taught by mommy, daddy, the school system, your church, and your politicians, and your financial planners.
So, Robert, you're alluding to it. You think a big crash is coming, stocks, and even real estate to a certain degree. What are you waiting for specifically to buy back into real estate? And, especially as it comes to Trump, you don't think Trump's going to have any significant material impact on mitigating any sort of crash here in the near term?
Well, Trump's already preparing for the crash. That's why he's blaming the Fed and all this stuff. He's, you know, it's called CYA, you know what that stands for. He says, well, I told you it was the Fed's problem.
Deflecting.
It's you know, come on, you guys. I think your generation's hosed. You're in big trouble. Now, that's a good thing because you may get off your butt and do something different or, you know, look for new ideas. So the thing about money is that money turned fake in 1971. That's my latest book coming up, Fake Money, Fake Teachers, and Fake Assets. So the problem with most of your generation is you're working for fake money. So same as my generation, baby boomers. You went to fake schools and fake teachers. You know, you're listening to teachers who do not know what they're talking about. They don't know. Back in 1970, the business school started saying that gold was a barbaric relic of the past. So most of you guys, your generation, are listening to baby boomers who went through these fake business schools like Harvard, MIT, Princeton, and they all think that gold is fake money because that's what the lobbyists told them to say. And then you have today fake assets, which are stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. And the reason I say they're fake is if you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I said an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. Very simple. A liability takes money from your pocket. So you buy a house, it's a liability for most people because it's sucking cash out of your pocket. You know, you have a 401k, it's a liability. It's sucking cash out of your pocket every single month. And you sit there, oh, this is so wonderful. And then you have stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs. And guess what? They're sucking money out of your pocket too. So that's what Rich Dad Poor Dad was about. It wasn't about anything else but another point of view. And I'm not saying I'm right. You know, if a crash is coming, it's wonderful stuff. That's when you get really rich.
Sure.
But this next crash, I'm afraid, will be bigger than 2008 by a factor of 10. And so that's why I'm not preparing to buy anything right now. I'm just going to where I always have been. I have millions and millions of gold Krugerrands, US Eagles, Pandas, Aussie Kangaroos, Canadian Maple Leafs. I have real money. I'm counting on gold because in 1971, Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. And I think that's what millennials should understand. Your house is not an asset. The stock market is a ripoff. The dollar is a ripoff. And you've been set up by the school system. Other than that, you guys are doing good. And the biggest pile of debt is going to land in your head as soon as the old guys like me get out of the way.
Robert, okay, so explain the difference between buying a house being a liability then that you live in that sucks money out of your pocket, but then a cash flowing asset that you rent out and pays for itself that has capital appreciation. I mean, how important is that in your strategy? And, you know, obviously that's in many ways what Rich Dad Poor Dad was about.
But it's not the asset. I mean, please understand me. I can buy a rental property. What I'm trying to say to you right now, because I was in Austin in 1980s, and I should have bought more property then. I have quite a bit there. But right now, the young guys are going in and buying at the highest. I can't believe. I mean, I saw houses that were $30,000, now going for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you young guys have these thoughts of sugar plums and dancing fairies in your head. Oh, I'm going to buy a house in Austin. It's going to go up in value. Because you've been set up. You're being set up. Not that Austin's a bad place. It's a good place. But a house, real estate is always dependent upon jobs. Always dependent upon jobs. So Austin is booming because you have Texas, you know, UT, you have high tech there and all this stuff. But let's say, worst case scenario, those jobs disappear in a market crash. Suddenly that house you thought was an asset drops in value because there's no jobs. So what I said in Rich Dad Poor Dad is if the asset puts money in your pocket, it's an asset. If the asset takes money from your pocket, it's not a liability. So during the crash of 2008, many of those assets turned into liabilities when renters lost their jobs and they moved out. So it's not so much, so please don't drink the Kool-Aid that real estate agents and financial planners and stockbrokers tell you. You've got to be a little smarter. And just look at what, if you're living at home with mommy and daddy, just hope mommy and daddy don't lose their jobs or their pensions. That's really what I'm saying to you guys.
It's powerful. Well, sir, I'd like to close out the interview here and ask you, you are someone who has, you know, spoken all over the
world. Question. You got to ask the worst case scenario question. What happens if your mommy and daddy lose their job and you got to move on the street with them? That's a more important question. I'm not saying it should happen. But when you think like that, you kind of wake up. You don't need coffee in the morning and you start saying, well, maybe I should look for some new ideas. And that's all I'm saying. You see, there's many ways to go to financial heaven. There's also more ways to go to financial hell. And we're in that point right now where you're going to decide you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's all I'm saying to you guys. So I'm glad you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but it has nothing to do with anything else but your brains, what's in your head, what you've been taught, who your teachers are.
Well, like I said, we appreciate your insight here and coming on and sharing with us your thoughts, your wisdom with us. And, you know, I like to ask you, if you would, share your thoughts on, you know, achieving it. In many cases, you've made it. Well-renowned speaker all over the world, best-selling books, you know, financial celebrity. Is there a point that you reach happiness then, that everything's taken care of and you're like in this euphoria? Because I feel like that's in life what people are looking for happiness. And I'm curious to pick your brain as we close out this interview on your thoughts on happiness and achieving that.
That's a very good question, more important question. Part of my new book, Fake, which comes out in probably April next year, I talk about spirituality. And one thing I will say to you all this, when people say money doesn't make you happy, that's true. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I make $1 million, I'll be happy. No, it doesn't help at all. Oh, if I get married and I have kids, then I'll be happy. No, that's not true either. See, happiness has nothing to do with what's going on outside of you. It happens with what goes inside of you. Another thing, too, is people say, well, if I'm successful, then I'll be happy. The only reason I'm successful is I didn't listen to my stupid school teachers. You know, the way you get successful is you fail a lot of times. But spirituality picks you up. See, the reason most people aren't successful is they fall down and they never stand up again. Or they're afraid of falling down, so they keep that safe, secure job at a company they hate, not making enough money. Because they went to school and they were taught that if you make a mistake, you're stupid. Well, failure and success are two sides of the same coin. You can't have success without failure. And the reason most people are not successful is they're avoiding failing, but they become failures. If you understand that, so that's a lot about it in Fake. You know, I meditate every morning. I have spiritual guidance. I read spiritual books like The Power of Now, Awareness, and things like this. But what makes me happy is not the money or the success. What makes me happy is the game. You see, I look at money as just a stupid game played by human beings. You go out there, to me it's like I'm a rugby player. I go out there with the best team possible, and we play to win. I have accountants, attorneys, bankers. I have no financial planners on my team, no school teachers on my team. But you got to go out there with this team. My bookkeeper is probably the most important person. Now, when I go on the field to play, unfortunately, there's A students like my poor dad. They have no team. And guys like us just stomp on them. They go onto a field. That would be like me going on the field to play the Dallas Cowboys. That's what the average guy, you know, the A student from UT is doing. They're going onto the field and they're taking on the Dallas Cowboys all by themselves. because they were taught they had to know all the answers. In the real world, the person with the best team wins. That's the real world. And our schools teach you to study on your own, take tests on your own, don't help other people. I ask for help constantly. You know, that's why I flunked out of school 3 times, because I was asking for help. School teachers call that cheating.
I love it.
Thank you.
Well, Robert Kiyosaki, thank you so much for coming on crushthestreet.com. If people want to learn more about the books you're writing or purchase your books, you know, look at your schedule, your calendar, where can they go and what would they find?
Well, I'm always, you know, I don't go to school. I go to seminars. I dropped on the MBA program when I found out my accounting teacher knew nothing about accounting, which is pretty standard in the industry. But I went to seminars. Tonight I leave for the New Orleans Investment Conference in New York. Now I go to speak, I get paid well, but I go to listen also. You see, the most important thing is you don't want to listen to teachers. You want to listen to people who are on the front line. You know, the trouble with most school teachers, they're not on the front line. They operate in the world of theory, not reality. That's the biggest problem of all. It's my poor dad. He had a lot of theory, no reality. So when I went to Vietnam, I went to flight school in Pensacola, Florida. And by the time I got to Camp Pendleton, just before going to Vietnam, I had a new set of teachers come in. They were called fighter pilots. And these guys came in, a lot of them, they lost their friends, they got shot to hell, some of them were wounded. And what they said to me is, don't listen to those school teachers from the teachers from Pensacola. So we're going into combat now, it's a different game out there. And so the most important thing is choose your teachers wisely. Most teachers don't know what they teach. I'll leave you with that.
Powerful. Well, that's why we opt out of conventional wisdom here at Crush the Street. Robert Kiyosaki, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Thank you for doing what you're doing, young man. It's very important work you have. You got to keep it. You know, your generation needs to think differently, or they're going to wind up like their parents, kids living at home with them.